Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to take a look at prayer tonight. We're going to see what the Lord has to say from the Beatitudes. From the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7 does give us the Sermon on the Mount. We're still into that. It may not be the Beatitudes exactly, but it is the Sermon on the Mount. And as I considered and prayed about what to do tonight, it kept coming back to me about it being a prayer meeting, about Wednesday night is traditionally a prayer meeting in church. And I thought, okay, well, why not take a look at prayer? Take a few verses of Scripture out of God's Word and examine it for just a little while tonight and walk away with a better understanding, maybe a blessing, some encouragement, some guidance and direction for our prayer life. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7. I'll begin reading with verse 7. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him?" May God add blessings to the reading of his word tonight. You know, when we talk to children, and we ask the question, how can I be a better Christian? Often, we'll hear something like this: to either go or stay in church, to read the Bible more, and to pray more. Even the youngest among us know the value of doing these things. Yet every week, churches have way too many empty pews because folks just decide not to come oftentimes. Homes today have too many dusty Bibles because folks decide not to read them. And then there is the lapse in our prayer life. How many of us this evening can say without a doubt that we pray enough? You may say, well, I pray more than, and fill in the blank with whatever you want to put there. Really? Do we? But that wasn't the question about comparing ourselves with someone else or something else. Do we pray enough? Now, when we think beyond that question, the next question really gets to the heart. Is God satisfied with our prayer life? Now, when I have said that, and ask that question in front of certain adults at certain times, I have literally gotten eyes rolled at me. This comes from adults that should know better. If our prayer lives are suffering, it's because our faith in God is suffering. Our faith that God will actually answer a prayer. When we suffer from that kind of lapse in our faith, everything else in our walk with God suffers as well. So let's consider God's Word tonight, and let's take our text and let it clearly tell us that God has a response to a structured, serious, sincere prayer life. When we see asking is more than just getting words out of our mouth. Praying is more than just uttering a few words. It's getting the words out of our heart and letting our heart speak vocally and verbally. Now, with these thoughts fresh in our minds, let's look and let's find the answer to a couple of pressing questions about prayer. We see first in verse 7, ask, seek, and knock. When we take a closer look at these words, that word ask is a word of desire. Jesus is telling us not just utter a few words about a petition we have, but do we have a desire in our heart? Do we have a desire in our heart for the things that we are actually lifting up to God? Now that's a very probing question that we all need to think about with our prayer life. We have a very busy schedule. We have very busy days. We get consumed and wrapped up with everything that's going on in our life. And then when prayer time comes, it's easy to recite something from memory. But according to God's Word, when He says to ask, He wants us to ask with a heart that is desiring. So when we're thinking about our prayers and our prayer life, and we see the things that are needed around us, whether it is someone with a health problem, whether it is someone with a financial problem, whether it is families or loved ones or friends who are struggling with depths of sin or temptation in their life, do we have a desire in our heart to really see God move? Do we have a desire in our heart to really see God work in the things around us? We should have. If we're going to touch the throne of grace with the petitions that we have, they need to come from our heart and with a desire to see God move in them. Now, to have that desire, we have to have faith. We have to believe that God will move. We have to believe when we come to God with the desires of our heart that God is actually going to move in them. Now, when we're coming to God with these desires, we have to understand God is going to move in them in His own way, according to His will. Because we are very limited in what we know, and we're very limited in what we see. We can see what's immediately in front of us, and we can see a little bit of what's already happened. But God can see everything from the beginning to the end and from the end to the beginning. He knows what is needed to the depth and the breadth of eternity. And we've got to have faith that God's going to answer according to His riches, according to His knowledge, according to His wisdom. Well, when we understand what Jesus means when He says ask, we need to move over and see what He means when He says seek. Seek. It is what's called a Hebraism. It is a word that has a Hebrew phrase that derives its meaning. It means to worship. Now, when we see that word seek, we get the impression that, well, we're going to go searching for something. We're going to go looking for something. And to an extent, that is a proper way of looking at it. But when we look at it from the Hebraism that is given, when it is to worship, we are asking God from a desire deep in our heart, and we're asking with a faith that God is going to respond, and now we are seeking with a heart of worship that we're praising God Not because he's answered this, not because he's given us our wish, our petition, but we're worshiping God because we have the ability to come to him and approach him through Jesus Christ. We have the ability to begin with to even bring this before the holy and righteous creator of the universe. Seek, Jesus says, and ye shall find. Worship. Worship. How many of us have ever thought about prayer as being part of worship? How many of us have ever thought about prayer being an actual part of the whole worship experience? And when we come to God in prayer, that we're actually in a worship mode. We are actually seeking Him in worship. We need to have our heart wrapped around this prayer. And then knock. Knock. We want to look at knock. And it is a word of gaining attention. And when I see that word knock, you know what comes to my mind? I don't know if you watched the television show, Sheldon, Big Bang Theory, that's the name of it. The guy Sheldon. There's a girl that lives across in the apartment across the hall from them. Well, every time Shelton needs something, whether it's with her or one of his roommates or something, he'll go up to the door, whether he's going to talk to one of his roommates or talk to the neighbors, and he'll go and call their name, and call their name, and call their name. He'll do that in 3 times in succession. And then if they don't answer the door, he'll go back. And if they don't answer the door, he'll go back and he'll do it over and over and over until that repetitive knocking becomes so annoying they can't ignore him anymore and they have to open the door to see what Shelton wants. Well, when I was looking through this, that's exactly what that piece of scripture means. It means to be persistent. To be persistent. Sometimes God will hold off on answering a prayer because He wants us to learn patience and persistence. In the point and click world that we live in today, where everything is just a touch of a finger, or a mouse click away. We are at a mindset where when we pray to God, it's a mouse click to an answer. It's a touch away from an answer. And in reality, it's much faster than that with God because He knows what we're going to be pursuing before we bring it to Him. Yet, to keep our attention, to keep our faith strengthened, to keep us in a mode of worship, He may have us knock just a little while longer. Knock just a little while longer. Lord, Lord, persistence. He wants us to be seeking Him in worship, asking Him with a desiring heart, a heart of conviction to reach those needs around us and to reach Him and to ask Him what His desire is in our heart and in our life. Well, when we look beyond verse 7, we see some words of encouragement. Those for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And those that seek, find. And those that knock, it will be opened. Words of encouragement. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say could be. It doesn't say kind of, sort of, somewhat, maybe, will be. It says will be. And that's exactly what it means. We have the words of encouragement of Jesus Christ tonight that if we will seek Him, if we will seek God the Father with the heart that He is asking, with the desires, with the worship, with the persistence, with the faith that He will answer and that He will reach into our hearts and into our lives, we are told He will answer. And again, He will answer according to His will, to His wisdom, to His knowledge. But then there's an illustration that Jesus lays in there in verses 9 through 11. Is there a man among you that if his son would ask bread, he would give him a stone, or if he would ask fish, he would give him a serpent? Well, those obvious answers are no. None of us would give anyone a rock for a piece of bread. None of us would give a snake for a fish. Why would we want to humiliate someone or tease someone like that? And that's what Jesus is asking. Would anybody tease someone like that, someone that they loved, a close family member? And the answer is, of course not. Well, Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount. He is preaching to those who are following Him, to His disciples. He is teaching them. So the lesson learned out of this is, if that's the case, and God, we are God's children, why would we not expect God to give us the answers of our prayers, the things that we are seeking, as long as we're seeking the right things? If the Son is asking for bread and the Son is asking for fish, they are the necessary things that are needed to sustain life. They are necessary in that young man's life. So if we are asking for the things that are necessary in our spiritual life and in our spiritual walk with God, then why should we think that there is any reason at all, that God would not answer those prayers? When we consider that and we move down to verse 11, we see the answers to that question. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask you? If then, being evil. Now, we got to be careful and not take exception to that and not get our feelings hurt. Because when God sees us outside of the blood of Christ, that's how He sees us. Because we are born with the sin nature, born into depravity. We are born separated from God. And until we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the relationship as a child of God is not established. We of our nature, we are born with that sin nature. We are born separated from God. We are born as an enemy, at enmity with God. But if we, being in that situation, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, how much greater is God toward us whom He has redeemed? That is the picture of who we are in God's eyes. We have that connection. We have that connection to God. And that connection is prayer. That connection is a connection, a communication with the throne of grace. And it's something that we need to cherish. It's something that we need to embrace tonight. It's something that we need to reach down and take a very deep hold of. We need to, if we have to, just stop and back away from life. And just ask God to show you. Just ask God. Let's not worry about the telephones. Let's not worry about the computers. Let's not worry about the televisions. Let's not worry about anything like that. God, just touch my heart. I want to be able to ask. I want to be able to seek. And I want to knock. I want to desire things in my life that I need to be praying about. I want to take those desires and I want to bring them to you in a heart of worship. And God, I want to be persistent. If we can come to God with those things in our personal lives, if we can come to God with those things and we can sincerely seek Him, I believe we would see revival in our prayer lives. And if we see revival in our prayer lives, it's just a matter of time till we see revival in other areas of our life. And once we see it in our life, individually, we see it in the life of the church. And then when we see it in the life of the church, we see it in the life of the community. And then it just expands and it goes from there. I have read while studying this a true statement. And it said, revival does not begin with a preacher. Revival begins with a prayer. It is the answer of a prayer that begins a revival. So we need to be praying. We need to be seeking. We need to be asking. We need to be desiring. We need to be knocking. And it needs to begin with each one of us personally. Before we worry about anyone else or anything else, we need to worry about me. We need to be asking God to deal with me.